Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this fifth day of July, 2021. I trust everyone listening has had a blessed and refreshing and relaxing time to celebrate Independence Day with your family, friends, and loved ones over the weekend. And in fact, that may be going on right now since many people have a day off from work on the Monday after the 4th of July. But today we have a very important discussion. I believe all of our discussions on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are important, but this is really vital, involving the rescue of unborn children, the attempts by God's grace and mercy to bring an end to the horror and the satanic blight on this country and the globe, known as infanticide, or in the more cleaned-up version known as abortion. Today we are going to be discussing the Southern Baptist Abortion Abolition Resolution that was co-authored by my guests, Bill Askell, senior pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Owosso, Oklahoma, and also Dusty Devers, a pastor of Grace Community Church of Elgin, Oklahoma. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you two brothers to the program for the very first time. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. It's good to be with you today. We appreciate all that you do.
Great. And Pastor Bill, if you could first let our listeners know about Bethel Baptist Church in Owosso, Oklahoma.
Okay, I have been a pastor at Bethel in my 16th year here. We're located just north of Tulsa, so up in the northeast corner of the state. It's a wonderful family of faith, taking the gospel to our neighborhood and to the nations. I have the privilege of serving these folks. They've put up with me for all these years, but precious people, they love the Lord, they love the lost, and they're all on board with this initiative that we began here in Oklahoma a few years ago to see abortion abolished.
Well, if anybody wants more information about Bethel Baptist Church of Owosso, Oklahoma, go to bethelowosso.org, BETHELOWASSO.org. Now, if we could, Dusty Devers, if you could give our listeners a summary description of Grace Community Church of Elgin, Oklahoma.
Well, Grace Community Church is a Reformed Baptist church. We planted it 5 years ago in May, and it was formerly First Baptist Church of Elgin, and we did what I call a revita plant. We did a revitalization with the church plant. We have three elders, three pastors that I labor with, and the body has just been so kind and generous to receive the word implanted, and they have been earnest to receive the word. So they're just a wonderful church, a wonderful community of faith, and I just thank God every day that I get to be alongside these brothers and sisters in our declaring the glory and supremacy of King Jesus.
Amen. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the only website you have is your Facebook page, correct?
Yeah, right now we're updating our website.
Okay, well, for right now, go to Grace Community Church Elgin, E-L-G-I-N, on Facebook, and you'll find that page. And Brother Bill, if I'm not mistaken, you are the brother of my dear friend of many years, Tom Askell, the president of Founders Ministries, correct?
That's correct. Tom and I helped start Founders Ministries back in 1983, and I was on the board for a while. I went off the board. I'm back on the board now. Tom's a wonderful man of God.
Yes, he is, and I look forward to having him back on the show. Well, tell us about the recent Southern Baptist Convention meeting. We had a full program on that recently with my dear friend, Pastor Josh Bice, who is founder of G3 Ministries. He gave us a very detailed description of what occurred. But if you folks, both of you, and perhaps we'll start with Dusty, can give us a description of what occurred as far as the Southern Baptists for Abolishing Abortion is concerned.
Well, we had a plan going into the annual meeting this year to present the resolution on abolishing abortion. We put it together about a year prior to, had several readers and contributors look at it, several theologians and pastors and authors and scholars, and put together what we feel like is a God-honoring, Christ-exalting, church-benefiting, and preborn neighbor, fighting for their lives resolution. And it, as our strategy going into the annual meeting was, that we would pass out hopefully around 7,500 copies of the resolution on abolishing abortion. We had another booklet written by my good friend James Silberman with Free the States called Are You an Abolitionist? And we passed out a lot of those at the Founders Breakfast, the Founders event the day before on that Monday, and then we were able to pass out 1,000 copies at the Conservative Baptist Network breakfast, and then we had several folks on the streets passing out the resolutions. We did some street preaching as well, but we weren't involved with, there was another group that was out there, that kind of Westboro-type radicals. We weren't involved with them. But going into the annual meeting, we were concerned that we might not be able to have a hearing with our resolution, and so that's why we wanted to have a good ground game, get the information out. And really, our ultimate goal was to glorify God in everything that we did and to ensure that the resolution would be read by folks so that they could see what God's Word says about ending this Holocaust in our land of abortion. And so we had a lot of folks who had read it. The messengers, I think, were ready. Most messengers are just like us. They read their Bibles and they eagerly want to receive God's Word and to study it and see if these things are true from God's Word. And so the resolutions committee on that Tuesday didn't bring our resolution out, and so Brother Bill here made an amendment to bring it out. I don't know if you want to go in depth in that right now, but they did bring it out, and the messengers voted probably 90% or more in favor of hearing the resolution, and so that was heard on Wednesday, and there was some debate that ensued and some change. A single insignificant change was made, and it was passed by the messengers this year. So it was, I'd say, a pretty successful thing that happened, and it's God's grace on us as a convention to call us to address the most urgent and horrific Holocaust in our world right now. Over 3,000 babies are murdered every day in the United States and over 150,000 around the world every day. I'd say it's very urgent.
Bill, if you could explain specifically what are the main details that were involved in this, and what does it mean, as far as Dusty just said, what does it mean that it was that the Southern Baptists for Abolishing Abortion was accepted by a vote? What does that mean?
That's a good question, Chris. In our convention bylaws, when we get together for our annual meeting, the platform people actually are in charge of the convention. Whoever's on the platform for their particular responsibilities are in charge of things. And so there's a resolutions committee that's appointed by the president. J.D. Greer was the outgoing president. He'd appoint a resolutions committee, and they go through resolutions. We're required to submit a resolution to this committee no later than May 31st. They look over them. Then they decide of all the resolutions presented which ones they're going to bring to the convention for consideration. As Dusty said, ours was not brought out. And we were suspicious that that would happen, and that's why we went ahead and took sort of a preemptive strike to be sure that messengers had an opportunity to read ours. And so when the time came for a resolution to be presented, ours was not listed in the Daily Bulletin. And so at the right time, I'd already reached out to the parliamentarian prior to the convention to make sure that my thinking was clear on parliamentary procedure if indeed our resolution was not presented. And so at the right time, I was given an opportunity to speak, and I asked for the president to allow me to make a motion to bring the resolution out of committee. That would require a two-thirds vote of the messengers to overrule the decision of the resolutions committee. And so I was allowed to speak to that. As Dusty said, the messengers voted probably close to 90% to bring it out. That's historic. I've been going to Southern Baptist Convention meetings since 1979. I talked to my favorite convention historian, Dr. Tom Nettles, asked him had he ever known of this happening, and he said he did not know of this happening, where a resolution was brought out over the protest of the committee. So we got it before the floor of the convention. As Dusty said, there was a little debate the next day. It was adopted by the convention. So for the first time in the history of the Southern Baptist Convention, two things happened. One was the resolutions committee was overruled. Second, a strong resolution using the language of abolition was adopted by the convention. I may need to add, I'd like to add, resolutions are not in the form of business motions where something changes at an entity level. A resolution is a snapshot of the disposition of the messengers at that particular annual meeting. But it does show the pulse of the convention. So while if you and I were to get on the phone, Chris, and start calling around to the six seminaries, call the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission and say, what are you going to do in the light of the resolution on abolishing abortion? They could say, if they wanted to, well, we do not respond to resolutions, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But Southern Baptists have spoken on this. The discussion of abolition is on the table. It's not going away. And even since the convention, momentum is building on the part of grassroots Southern Baptists to see our institutions and agencies take a more proactive stand, because we believe the secular pro-life industry has failed us and that root has no intention of seeing abortion abolished.
Now, you brought up something very important. Many of us will routinely use the phrase pro-life as merely a generic description that we are opposed to the murder of unborn children. And it's obviously, as you know, has escalated to such a satanic level that there are elected officials who actually believe it is not only acceptable to murder an unborn child up until the ninth month, but also they allow, they think it is completely acceptable for a baby who has been born, quote, accidentally during an abortion attempt. They think it's absolutely acceptable for a mother and her doctor to decide whether that baby who has been born, whether or not that child lives or dies. So many people, I even use it often as a part of the vernacular, describe myself as pro-life. But what is the difference between the quote-unquote pro-life movement and what you are saying? I guess we'll start with Dusty.
Yeah, I think fundamentally we're saying abolitionism, whether you're talking about slavery abolitionism or the abolition of abortion, abolitionism simply asks, how does God, through his word, command the bride of Christ to address and combat the great evil of the unjustified premeditated murder of preborn humans in our society? You know, you can ask that about slavery, you can ask that about any number of evils, but abolitionists are firmly grounded and planted in God's word and are answering the question of dealing with great societal evils in our society. And this one particularly, we call ourselves, you know, abortion abolitionists. And our answer on how you deal with it is to officially cease murdering the preborn immediately without exceptions that legalize murder or compromises with the culture of death. So the big difference between abolitionism and pro-lifeism as an industry or as a kind of professional movement that it has become is that abolitionism fundamentally is a biblical response to great evils. And it is the work of the people of God. It's a we talk about the five tenets of abolitionism. We say it's gospel-centered, it's aligned providentially, it's through the church, it's engaged biblically, and it's sought immediately without exception or compromise. Pro-life regulationism for the past 48 years has sought to regulate murder, not stand where God's word stands, but to regulate it. And for 48 years, we've been playing on a football field without any end zones that is coached not by God's word, but by a humanist worldview. Now, that's not to say that many pro-lifers aren't doing what they believe is all that they can do or what God demands. It's that we can be participating in something unintentionally and unintentionally be wrong. So pro-lifeism basically submits to Roe versus Wade as the ultimate authority, and so we can't do anything because SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, hasn't given us permission. And abolitionists say, well, Jesus is king over all the universe, and he is the one who has all rule and authority and power and dominion and has a name that's above all names. And he is putting everything under his feet, and he's doing that as he is the head of the church. And so the church is to be responding to these great societal evils as God commands, not as the Supreme Court commands. The Supreme Court is supposed to be bowing to King Jesus as well. So I know that was a lot there, but in essence, it's saying, how does God demand we deal with murder and these great evils of aborting and murdering our children? And so let's do what he says and not regulate the slaughter of the preborn in our land.
Chris, also, I would add, like you, I would have identified myself as pro-life. I've been in this battle since I pastored in Louisiana decades ago, and I would have called myself at that point a principled pro-lifer. In other words, I was working for legislation with our Louisiana legislature, a no exceptions bill. We were working on that, a clean bill. A constitutional attorney at LSU in Baton Rouge taught us that the only thing that has any hope of standing up before the Supreme Court is a bill that doesn't have any exceptions. It's equal protection, equal justice for every human being born and preborn. So I was in that arena, and for the longest would have called myself a pro-lifer, a principal pro-lifer. Then I began to bump into pragmatic pro-lifers, people who would say to me, well, what you're trying to do is good, but it's just not possible. It's never going to work. There was the pragmatism, and that frustrated me, so I had to distinguish myself. Well, I'm a principal pro-life. And then I began to bump into political pro-lifers, these these politicians who kept getting elected and reelected, promising to end abortion, vote for me, support my campaign, we'll end abortion. And time again, it never happened. And then there was the ugliest animal in this whole pro-life industry is the professional pro-lifer. He has a fundraising list. He makes millions and millions of dollars off of good-hearted people, promising that if you'll support his cause, he'll lobby the legislature, he'll lobby the Congress, so that abortion can be ended. Well, I'm not playing the game anymore. So a couple of years ago, I came out as an avowed abolitionist. I would say to anybody listening to your broadcast that identifies himself as pro-life, leave the pro-life movement, join the biblical movement of abolition. Dusty, I think, is the one who coined the phrase plexit, pro-life exit. Get out of it. And so that's a distinction. That's a very real distinction. And we're pressing for that in the Southern Baptist Convention. It's not been well received by the elitists and the folks, the gatekeepers, but they need to get in line with the rank and file of Southern Baptist or else.
When it comes to Roe versus Wade, I have heard disagreement over this, but is this actually a constitutional, legally binding liberty that women have, giving them the so-called freedom to murder their unborn children?
No. No, it's not. We have a separation of powers in our constitutional republic. The Supreme Court does not write law. It renders decisions. It renders bad decisions. Dred Scott was a horrible decision. Roe v. Wade, a horrible decision. Obergefell, horrible decisions. And the people of this land are not obligated. I get so tired, Chris, of hearing people say, well, Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. No, it's not the law of the land. Congress has never passed a law that allows for the slaughter of unborn children in the womb. And so we need to rip the mask off of that lie. And as we say in Oklahoma, Oklahoma's a wonderful place to live. When the day comes and we get our legislature to act like men and godly women and pass an abolition bill, then we will say to, and our governor signs it, we will say to the Supreme Court, you can pound sand. You don't get to tell us who we kill, when, where, how, and why in our state.
Yeah, Chris, you know, the Supreme Court has overturned itself over 300 times. It makes decisions that must be overturned. And besides that, you know, states have the right to stand up, and not only the right, the responsibility and the command, according to their constitutions, to stand up, to interpose on behalf of their citizens when the federal magistrate would do something to harm their civil liberties or their life. You know, this is fifth grade civics. We learned that the Supreme Court doesn't make laws. And so we have been bowing to an opinion, which we would call, according to Isaiah 10, 1 and 2, an iniquitous decree that promoted and made way for the shedding of millions of babies' blood. We would call that an iniquitous decree, and not, and it shouldn't be recognized as law. It isn't, but we're in all these states now writing pro-life regulation bills that actually legalize, they give legal cover to the murder of our preborn neighbors, God's image bearers. So bills like heartbeat bills, for example, there's a positive and a negative side to pro-life regulation laws, a heartbeat law. The positive side is, well, you can't murder children if the abortionist goes in and finds a heartbeat. But the negative side of that bill is, if he doesn't find a heartbeat, you can murder him. You can murder this baby. And God's word demands that we not be partial. Pro-life regulation laws are inherently bills of partiality. They have a positive side and a negative side. They say that some can be murdered. This is not establishing equal justice and equal protection as God demands in his world. This is not seeking first the kingdom of heaven. This is using unequal weights and measures. You know, this is the reality with all these pro-life regulation laws. They have been, the Supreme Court didn't make a law and didn't codify into our Constitution that abortion was legal. What is actually codifying it into law is all these states writing pro-life regulation bills. That's where the legalization of abortion has been happening. Now, whenever we talk about ignoring Roe versus Wade or nullifying Roe versus Wade, and we talk about that with regard to abortion abolitionism, just the in the same way that some folks will talk about it with gun rights or immigration or marijuana. In Oklahoma, we have ignored the Fed on marijuana. They have, it's a Schedule I drug, and in Oklahoma we have legalized it for medical purposes. So the reality is, in Oklahoma we have a supermajority pro-life legislature, and we can pass any pro-life bill we want, and we can even pass a law that says we are going to ignore the Fed on marijuana, but they won't go in and pass an abolition bill that ignores Roe versus Wade and challenges them like they have challenged them on marijuana. So, in essence, every time we see a green cross when we're driving down the road and there are pot shops everywhere in our state, we're saying that our legislators, in some way, love marijuana more than they do the preborn babies in our state.
And it should be interesting to our listeners to know that, and this is not a matter of opinion, the real Roe, the real woman who launched the Roe versus Wade decision, Norma McCorvey, later admitted that it was all a lie, and she is pro-life. I don't know if she is still with us. Perhaps you guys know, but I just thought that might be an interesting bit of fact for our listeners to know.
Yes, she did pass away fairly recently, and not only what you just said about Norma McCorvey, but she the whole case was built upon a lie. It was propagated upon a lie. Roe v. Wade has come straight out of the pit of hell. It needs to be sent back to hell where it came from. Our pro-life friends like to tell us that our abolition position, if successful, will undo all of the gains they have made. And yet in Oklahoma, as Dusty pointed out, a super majority pro-life Republican conservative legislature, we passed law after law after law every session. They high-fived themselves. They slapped themselves on the back with all these victories, and yet abortion is on the rise in the state of Oklahoma. And so 48 years of pro-life legislation has only lulled us into a stupor of death. And I say it's time for us to take a different path, take a biblical path. Trust the Lord when he says, him who honors me, I will honor. He who despises me, I will esteem lightly. I think we're on the flip side of that right now, Chris. Our nation is. I believe the Southern Baptist Convention is. We have despised God. We've looked at unequal weights and measures. We've looked at pragmatic approaches. And God is not honoring that. He's not blessing that. But I really believe that he will bless a group of people who will stand and say, no more, no more. We call upon the federal government to abolish abortion immediately without exception or compromise. If the federal government will not hear, we call upon our state legislatures to do that. And once that is enacted, and all it's going to take is one state to finally get it right, dig its heels in, the governor sign it. As one of our good friends in this movement likes to say, what's the Supreme Court going to do if a state passes an abolition bill? Are they going to send their army? The Supreme Court doesn't have an army. And so it's going to be a crisis when it comes, but it will finally set things right. And when other states see that it's possible to protect your citizens from the devilish grip of the Supreme Court, the dominoes are going to start falling. I had a note the other day from a young man in the aftermath of the Southern Baptist Convention who said, I did not even know abolition was a possibility until I heard Bill Askell speak at the convention.
Okay, we have to go to our first break right now, and so please, if you have a question for our guest today, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
family. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gadi earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gadi so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gadi. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, we are discussing something very important today in regard to the prevention of the murder of unborn children or infanticide. We are discussing the Southern Baptist Abortion Abolition Resolution with my guests who are the co-author of that resolution, Bill Askell, senior pastor at Bethel Baptist Church in Owosso, Oklahoma, and Dusty Devers, pastor at Grace Community Church of Elgin, Oklahoma. If you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence. And we have a first-time questioner, Cody from Bowie, Texas. What can a layman or elder do in regards to the recent plagiarism issues that have come to light in the Southern Baptist Convention to hold the new president accountable or call for his resignation from the Southern Baptist Convention presidency or ministry altogether? Are there any standards in the Southern Baptist Convention regarding plagiarism, considering it appears J.D. Greer is now guilty of it also? Obviously, this is going to be something that requires a little bit of explanation. Dusty, if you could give a little background on that, because the issue of plagiarism is something we haven't addressed yet, but we did address it with Josh Bice the last time he was on.
I hate to get too far off a field of our topic on abortion abolition, but just briefly, I would say, in catching up, it appears that, not appears, it's been proven that Ed Litton, the recently elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention, plagiarized J.D. Greer, at least, in several of his Romans series sermons. And when it was brought to his attention and it was exposed, he pulled down over 140 sermons from his website. And there's been a lot of comparative videos made between words that he directly, you could say plagiarized from J.D. Greer. I'm sure that there will be more evidence come out as people have the time to mine the resources. I went to seminary at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If I would have plagiarized in any of my papers, at the least I would have failed that particular assignment and may have been kicked out of seminary for theft of intellectual property. And it's a character qualification issue. I wouldn't be qualified to, according to the qualifications of pastoring 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, if I was stealing other people's intellectual property and not making reference to them, at least in some way, to where I acquired it. Our blackboard system, where we had to turn in our papers, was used particularly because it could scour all kinds of journals and other resources and Google Books and otherwise to check for plagiarism. And it appears that our president of the SBC is now doing this, and there are so many people who are trying to support, or just lesson, the impact of what that is. I think the heart of a pastor is to shepherd the flock of God that's before him, knowing that we have to give an account for the kind of watch care we give over those particular sheep. You can't say that you're faithfully doing that. So if I was in our church, we're talking about how to respond with an SBC that I think is clearly morally compromised. Since we haven't already spoken out on these issues, and our academic elites and the heads of our seminaries and our entities have not clearly spoken out on the things that they wouldn't even allow in their classrooms, and now they're allowing for, in some ways, at least tacitly, from our SBC president.
By the way, Brother Askell, if you could make sure that you mute yourself every time you're not speaking, because there's still a lot of feedback.
All right. I surely will.
But I will ask you the follow-up question from our listener, Cody, in Bowie, Texas. Why is the question never asked in the Southern Baptist Convention, are women who have abortions guilty of murder? That seems to be the issue in the Roman Catholic Church as well, and I would argue is the reason that the pro-life movement has failed at abolition. What do you think the response would be from the Southern Baptist Convention? And he has a bunch of other things that he's asking. I'll let you answer that first, Bill Askell.
Okay. It's an excellent question, and because Southern Baptist leadership has taught the rank-and-file membership of the Southern Baptist Convention to emote on this issue and not reason biblically. It sounds harsh to say that a woman who has had an abortion is complicit in murder, and yet that is a very redemptive thing to say, because if she is guilty of breaking the sixth commandment, there is a gospel that can be applied to that. When she repents, she can be forgiven. And so it's wrong-headed thinking to suggest that there are two victims in an abortion. I would encourage anyone to go to the website notavictim.com and watch the videos there of women who are knowingly going into abortion clinics, and they are mocking, they are speaking vile speech, they are promising to do it again. They know very well what they're doing. The best remedy for this is to teach women that abortion is murder, and if they participate in that, in other words, if they're not forced by a sex trafficker or by an incestuous relative, if they willingly participate in this, they have participated in the murder of their child. They need to repent of that and seek forgiveness. it's just one more evidence, Chris, of the clash between the pragmatic thinking of the pro-life industry and the principled thinking of abolitionists.
Now, in regard to this, I'm still not 100% clear on the acceptance of your resolution by the Southern Baptist Convention. You seem to be pleased with the vote earlier, but has the Southern Baptist Convention accepted in its fullness the resolution, which would make it clear, if I'm not mistaken, that women who commit or who have abortions are guilty of murder and need to be held accountable? Is that something that the Southern Baptist Convention is willing to echo? And perhaps we'll have Dusty, we'll have you answer that.
Well, I believe that the messengers recognize the consistency of what God's word says regarding murder. And if you have committed a murder, then you would be guilty and be called a murderer, much like if we're liars. I think the messengers are pretty clear on that. I think they are really approaching God's word and seeking to be faithful there. Now, whenever it comes to, we've had a couple articles from academics around the Southern Baptist Convention, some professors and representatives of the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, the ERLC of the Southern Baptist Convention, who have argued that women are not murderers, but they're victims. One of the members of the resolutions committee argued this from the platform herself, and she was very emotional in her argument, just appealing to women as victims of generational sin. And that double victim doctrine, where not only is the baby a victim, but the woman being a victim of abortion, from whether it's a culture or a society that's taught them that it's okay to murder your babies, or legislators who write laws that tell you when, where, and how you can murder children up to a certain age, or if they have Down syndrome, you can't kill them, but if they don't have Down syndrome, you can kill them. The double victim doctrine, which the Southern Baptist Convention has historically maintained and the pro-life industry has maintained, is duplicitous. It's anti-scripture. It's anti-equal justice for all life. And I think that what you saw was a distinction between what the messengers are saying in reading their Bibles and what our elites are saying. And I think those have been coming out more clearly over these days and the interactions that we've had. And, you know, I think it'd be a great thing if we could have a public debate over this matter with some of these academics that are representing various entities of the Southern Baptist Convention and some abortion abolitionist. I think that would be a really helpful, a healthy direction to go for our convention. We are confident that whenever we put God's word out into the public and we don't tamper with it, we make open statements of the truth, and we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 4, that God will do his good work of renewing minds and changing hearts through his word and through the gospel. And it won't be veiled. We think that in a lot of ways the pro-life industry is veiling these things, and we want to make open statements of the truth. And so let's have a public debate or a discussion over this.
Okay, we have to go to our midway break right now, and please be patient with us, folks. The midway break, as always, is a bit longer than the other breaks, so we will be right back after these messages, and don't go away.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptl.com. PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, never ever forget how valuable, how absolutely essential solid-ground-books.com is to the survival of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are a premier sponsor of this broadcast, and would they cease advertising with us, the money that we would lose from them doing so would make us very likely need to go off the air. They are that essential to our existence. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously. And when purchasing from solid-ground-books.com, remember, don't only purchase things for yourself for your own edification and to replenish your libraries, but also remember your family, friends, and loved ones, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and also those that you know and love who are lost. The Lord has very often throughout the centuries used solid, biblically based books to draw the lost to salvation, and no book would be more adequate for that in the hands of God than a book published by solid-ground-books.com. And please remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our very important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish nothing but the finest in Reformed Christian literature, dating back all the way to the Protestant Reformation and going all the way forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com. And whenever you're making a purchase, always let them know that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our guests today, we just have some very important announcements to make. First of all, I want to thank all of you who have been letting me know that you are continuing to pray for my oldest brother, John, 76 years old, who has cancer, critical stage emphysema, and an inoperable aneurysm. My brother John has been rescued from the brink of death by our Lord several times during his bouts with these illnesses, and he was unconscious for 5 days a couple of weeks ago, and I thank God that he revived my brother, brought him back to consciousness, and heard the gospel presented to him on at least 4 occasions during visits from my dear friend Pastor Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, which is actually the town where the hospital is, where my brother was a patient and nearby where my brother lives. He has been transferred now to a rehabilitation facility, and his wife and he are now in serious contemplation over a skilled nursing facility where he will be transferred after he leaves the rehab facility. Please pray for him, not only physically, that God would do a physical miracle in healing him, but infinitely more important, that he gives clear, crystal clear evidence that my brother has truly embraced the gospel and his 100% reliance on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is uncertain at this point whether my brother is truly trusting in Christ, and obviously it would be an enormous blessing and act of mercy of God upon me if I am given that full assurance that my brother has come to a true saving faith of Christ. So please keep praying for my brother John. Pray for my brother Bob also, who I just informed you recently had a cancerous tumor removed from his bladder. It seems to have been successfully removed in its entirety. But please continue to pray for him. My brother Bob is a believer, by the way. Thanks be to the Lord. So continue to pray for him as well. We also ask of you to please go to IronTruppensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. We are in urgent need of your financial help. The coronavirus pandemic hysteria has really hit us very hard financially, because it's hit many in our audience very hard financially. Many of our listeners have had their businesses interrupted or even shut down due to the absurd and ridiculous and tyrannical impositions and mandates by local and federal governments, and therefore they have been unable to give as they previously did to this program. Please help us make up for and replenish for that which was lost financially to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you want to advertise with us, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well. You don't need to believe exactly as I do, but if you're promoting something through advertising, you need to be promoting something at the very least that is compatible with what we believe. Also, if you're donating and you prefer snail mail using the postal service, it seems that there are many people who are untrusting of donating and using debit and credit cards over the internet. If you are in that category of preferring snail mail using your local postal service, well, when you click support at IronSharpensIronRadio.com, a physical address will also appear on your screen where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please always remember, I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where they are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never do that. In other words, never punish your own church financially by blessing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. One of the key reasons I launched this program is to be a helping hand, a friend, a platform, and a voice to local pastors and the local church. I never want to do anything that hinders or hurts the local church in any way, shape, or form, and that includes financially. So never siphon money away from your own church to give to us. Also, if you are really struggling to survive, don't plunge yourself and your family into financial peril by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at this time. Providing for your church and family are commands of God in Scripture. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But having said that, if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, I'm urging you, please help us out. You have extra money collecting interest in the bank. You have extra money that you use for recreational purposes. You have extra money that you use for trivial purposes. Well, please share some of that with us if you love the show. We have between 30,000 and 40,000 people downloading the show every month. and only a tiny microscopic handful out of that huge number of people are actually giving. So I want to thank all of you who are among that number. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I can't even describe in the English language how grateful I am to you and how grateful I am to God for you. Some of you have been giving ever since we first launched in 2005, and some of you are new givers. Thank you so much for your sacrifices and helping us remain on the air. But if you've never given before and yet you love this show, please prayerfully consider giving. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Lastly, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, a biblically faithful church, a theologically sound church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church where you can call your permanent church home. I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I've helped many people in our audience find churches on all parts of the planet Earth, sometimes within just a few minutes of where they live. So please, if you are in that position of being without a church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guests, Bill Askell and Dusty Devers. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. And by the way, Cody in Bowie, Texas, please make sure we have your full mailing address. And Bill Askell, if you could mute yourself, we're getting your feedback. Please, Cody, give us your full mailing address so that we can have Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, ship out to you a free New American Standard Bible, since you are a first-time questioner. And that's compliments of the publishers of the NASB and also compliments of cvbbs.com, who ship those Bibles and books to our listeners when they win them. So to get a summary of what we've been discussing, or at least an essential element of what we've been discussing, and let me start with Dusty. You're saying that basically those in the under the umbrella, most of those anyway, under the umbrella of what has become known as the pro-life movement, and perhaps even in the Southern Baptist Convention, are taking a pragmatic approach. It may be actually be with good intentions, because they do not believe abortion will ever be abolished in this country if incremental steps are not taken. If too much is demanded immediately, these folks, well-intentioned, fear that no progress will be made. If we are making public demands that women who have their children murdered are legally held accountable, they fear, well, this is just never going to go anywhere because of the prominence of feminism and leftism in our country. So that's basically, if I'm not mistaken, what the opposition you are receiving is from those that, on the one hand, do believe that abortion is murder, but on the other hand, think that your efforts are misguided. If you could respond to what I just said.
Yeah, I think at the root of it, it's that what's the premise of primary authority? And we think the premise of primary authority for the pro-life industry is permission from the Supreme Court of the United States. And they've been operating as such for the last 48 years since Roe was passed in 1973. We, on the other hand, say the premise of primary authority in this world is God's word. And Jesus is king over all the universe, and he is putting all things under his feet through the gospels and through the churches spreading the gospel. And so our strategy for dealing with the great societal evil of murdering preborn children, little image bearers in the most vulnerable place is a strategy that must endure from generation to generation, that is worthy of our King. It's a strategy that our King Jesus would approve of and implement. And that we don't want to waste our lives on worldly sub-Christian strategies. We are to fight God's battles with the weapons that He has put into our hands, and we leave the success up to Him. So, you know, unfortunately, the battle that the pro-life industry has been waging is a worldly pragmatism that submits to the Supreme Court and not recognizing appropriately the Supreme Court is to submit to the highest throne in all existence, and that is the throne of God. So that's all we're saying. We want to not just try to set up a better worldly kingdom and have legislators who form a little better worldly strategies. We are not trying to set up a better earthly government. We are seeking first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto us. We recognize that there is a sphere of the church and her jurisdiction and authority, and there's a sphere of governing authorities that God has placed, but they still have to submit to their God and King, and that's not what the pro-life industry has been doing, whether well-intended or not. It's time to repent and leave the pro-life movement, like all of us have. Join us in repenting and obeying our King, Jesus.
And Bill Askell, just to further clarify, from what I have gathered from our conversation so far, you are both saying that at the recent Southern Baptist Convention meeting, your resolution was well received, but if I'm not mistaken, it has not been officially adopted as a resolution of the Southern Baptist Convention. Am I right?
No, it has been adopted as a resolution. It's in the record books. The book of reports that will come out next year will have in it our resolution as having been formally adopted by the convention. What you have to understand, Chris, is there's a distinction between a resolution adopted at a convention and a motion, a business motion that might instruct one of our entities or agencies to do something, or that the board of trustees of those respective agencies may take up for action. So it is a position taken at the 2021 Southern Baptist Convention. It has been adopted. It's a resolution of record. In fact, the nature of resolutions is such, Tom Askell, this year's convention tried to rescind and overturn Resolution 9 from Birmingham and was denied the opportunity because a resolution is adopted at a convention and it stands as a record of that convention and it's irrevocable. So I would like to tag on to what Dusty said. You know, Dusty called for a debate a while ago, and I would like to call upon Denny Burke and Andrew Walker, who are some of the chief voices of the response, the academics out there who are saying that our resolution is nonsense, it's woefully flawed. They've made ad hominem arguments accusing us of being misogynists, suggesting that we want to take up arms against the government, all sorts of ridiculous accusations. Our resolution was loaded with scriptural references, anchored and grounded in scripture. Their response had one scripture reference that basically proved our point. I think a debate is in order. If they really believe that we are a danger to the Southern Baptist Convention, if they love us, they ought to rescue us from our error. If they don't love us, but they love the convention, they ought to be willing to rescue the convention from our error. And I wouldn't understand for the life of me why people who are committed to being pro-life would not debate abolitionists on this topic. The rank and file of Southern Baptists want abortion abolished immediately without exception or compromise. These academics in the SBC have gone so far as to say that the messengers didn't understand what they were voting on. I will remind you, our resolution was the only one passed out in the streets. Our resolution was the only one distributed before the convention. No one got to see any resolution until it was printed Tuesday morning. There was even a resolution calling for the immediate ceasing and desisting of the genocide of the Uyghurs. Our convention that doesn't want to see, won't go on record as saying they want abortion abolished immediately, went on record saying they wanted the genocide of the Uyghurs in communist China to be stopped immediately. The irony is so thick, you can cut it with a knife.
Yes, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with who the Uyghurs are, they are a Muslim sect in China. If you could, Dusty, Bill just mentioned Resolution 9. If you could familiarize our listeners with that resolution again. This is the resolution that Tom Askell, Bill's brother, is attempting to overturn. If you could familiarize us with us for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with that.
Resolution 9 was passed in the 2019 annual meeting, and it was affirming the use of critical race theory and intersectionality as analytical tools to help us read the Bible. We hold that they are godless ideologies that reject God's word and would lead to really the destruction of society submitting to the lordship of Christ. So can I just shift back to something that Bill brought up?
Absolutely.
Right now, Andrew Walker and Denny Burke, as we speak, are debating us on Twitter, but they won't come and have a public debate with us. And that's what we're up for. We'd like to have a public discussion and have a winsome and brotherly dialogue with them in front of all who would be willing to listen. It's high time that our times and culture would have a debate like the abolitionists of slavery had a debate. The problem here is that this is nothing new. There were regulationists during the slavery abolition days. They wanted to put regulations on the West India Slave Company and clean up the ships or do certain things to make slavery more palatable to people, and they were the regulationist, or what you could call the gradual abolitionist. And then there were the immediatist abolitionist. And history has told the story, especially of the immediate abolitionist. The people who are recognized as not fighting for equal justice and equal protection for our African-American brothers and sisters are the ones who wanted to regulate the atrocities of chattel slavery. Now, let's be consistent and not regulate any longer the atrocities of the abortion holocaust in our nation. We, as God commands, should be immediate abolitionist. Let me read you something that Emily Hayrick wrote in her 1824 pamphlet, Immediate, Not Gradual Abolition. And I think it applies to something that's happening in the SBC with our elites right now, even on Twitter, as they're responding, but they won't, as of yet, won't agree to a public debate. Here's what Emily Hayrick said in 1824. The enemies of slavery have hitherto ruined the abolitionist cause by the senseless cry of gradual emancipation. It is marvelous that the wise and the good should have suffered themselves to have been imposed upon by this wily artifice of the slaveholder. For with him must the project of gradual emancipation have first originated. The slaveholder very well knew very well that his prey would be secure so long as the abolitionist could be cajoled into a demand for gradual instead of immediate abolition. The slaveholder knew very well that the contemplation of a gradual emancipation would beget a gradual indifference to emancipation itself. He knew very well that even the wise and the good may, by habit and familiarity, be brought to endure and tolerate almost anything. This is a playbook for what's happening in our day. We've seen it before. History is repeating itself. We should repent of participating in gradual regulatory abortion industry. We need to repent of it and turn from that and become immediate abolitionists. One last thing. Just like the West India slave trade was regulated and the West India company became a monopoly, so to speak, that's what Planned Parenthood is doing now with abortion regulations. They love regulations because it shuts out some of the independence. They can thrive in a regulatory environment and even grow larger and larger as they are starting mega murder mills in states around our nation, while so many pro-life regulation bills that say when, where, and how you can murder your children are being passed.
Excellent. We have a listener. We have a listener, actually a faithful, long-time listener and generous financial supporter of this program, with a question. Grady from Asheboro, North Carolina. Greetings, brothers. I know that our brother Jeff Durbin and his abolition of abortion ministry End Abortion Now has went to several states, Oklahoma being one of them. He's helped state representatives with bills for the abolition of abortion. Did you get any input from him on your resolution? And we could start with with Bill Askell.
Thank you. Yes, we did. Jeff was very helpful. As Dusty mentioned at the outset of the show, this resolution was more than a year in the works. Our original intention was to submit it to Orlando, the convention in Orlando, which did not happen. And Jeff Durbin was a key source of input because Jeff has been a faithful brother, is doing a wonderful work at Apologia. We love him and thank the Lord for him. In fact, your listener may not know that Jeff and some of his men actually came to Nashville. They were in Nashville with us. He was actually a guest of mine at the Southern Baptist Convention. So we're grateful for him, but he was a great source of input.
Great. We have a question from Christopher in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Christopher asks, were the lines of division that reflected those that were in support of your resolution in full and those that are opposed to holding women accountable reflective also of the lines drawn between Calvinists and Arminians? And the reason why I'm asking that is that Arminians, or those who are not Reformed or Calvinistic, tend to be more pragmatic about their approach to evangelism as well. They will customize and soften their messages to make them more appealing to those who are lost, and also the way that they worship is very often customized to be more appealing to the lost, as creating a greater lure for the lost to visit their churches. This pragmatic approach seems to be born out of fear that more traditional approaches and more biblical approaches to evangelism and worship will keep the lost out rather than leaving these issues up to the sovereignty of God. And I was just wondering if there was a direct connection to the abortion issue as well.
I'll take that. I don't see that in our Southern Baptist circles. I think it's tied more to a pragmatism versus a principled approach. And I would kick into this. I think, of course, you've got a feminist element that tends to be very emotional on this and doesn't reason biblically with it. And then you've got what I would call soft males who tend to fall in line with that element. But primarily, there's Arminians and Calvinists lined up together in support of abolition of abortion in the Southern Baptist Convention. That's not been a theological distinction that we have seen so much.
And Brother Dusty, I have said this a number of times in this program. I am fully convinced that those who are standing firm on wanting abortion abolished should insist, whether it's in the secular realm or even in a realm such as the Southern Baptist Convention meeting, that a film be viewed by all present of a baby being murdered in the womb. The reason I say that is that that seems to have changed the opinions of those globally after World War II. There was skepticism globally even after World War II initially about the Holocaust. And then when people globally viewed the newsreels of the concentration camps that were liberated, when they saw what had happened to these people, seeing the skeletal living victims and also the massive graves of those that were being graves that were being filled with cranes and dump trucks, filling them with the corpses of the victims, people were finally convinced. At least most sane people were finally convinced that this occurred, and it was nothing less than a satanic, horrific blight upon the face of the earth. What is your opinion about this, showing a film of this to jolt people back into the reality of exactly what we are talking about?
Yeah, I think good luck showing one of those at a secular humanist indoctrination camp, the government school. I don't think that we call them public schools too, I guess. I don't think that you'll ever get one of those shown there. That's why we have to have churches and brothers and sisters going regularly to abortion mills and showing graphic images, because our culture is doing everything they can to hide those, the realities that are happening in front of us. And just like what happened at the Nuremberg trials and why the concentration camps are open and touring to this day, we have to be jolted with the reality of the heinous wickedness that's in the heart of man. And if that's hidden from our eyes because we don't have a church that is influencing the culture, then we will default to this excuse, like, I didn't know. But God is clear in his word in Proverbs 24. He says in verse 11 and 12, it says, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. In verse 12, if you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? We really, at the end of the day, don't have an excuse, because God has placed his law in our hearts, and he's written his conscience. He's written his law in our hearts, and he's given us a conscience that works according to it. And we don't have an excuse before the King of the universe. And this is, you know, we agree with you, Chris, that this needs to be brought out more and more. The truth of abortion needs to be brought right before our eyes and not hidden, because this is the most atrocious Holocaust we've ever faced. 10 times plus greater than Hitler's Holocaust.
Well, going back, though, to a part of my question, how about making sure that everyone at the Southern Baptist Convention meetings together watches something like this. And if someone were to say, oh, we are all unanimously opposed to abortion, that's, well, obviously that's not good enough, because people are still pushing and wanting to preserve the incremental understanding. And maybe they just need to be reminded via shock value.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be great if we could get a president at the Southern Baptist Convention who would maybe plagiarize these abortion videos and put them in front of everybody so they could see them. Or if we had Founders Ministries would show one of their videos next year at one of their at their conference, their pre-conference, or the Conservative Baptist Network would show a video and show why this is such a nightmarish wickedness that's in our land. God deals with that in Leviticus 20, and he says, if any of you would give your children over to Moloch, that person is to be stoned. And if they're not stoned, then the people of the land, if they turn their faces from it and don't stone that man, then they need to have the same punishment. Now, I'm not advocating for that now, but I am saying it just shows how much God hates the sacrificing of our children to Moloch. So, I mean, if we want to start a campaign to maybe show one of those graphic videos, that would be great. We did bring some, and this is something that we do at abortion mills. Just on that note, my really close brother Brett Baggett and I are producing a documentary called A Storm Comes Rolling Down the Plains, and it's about the abolition of abortion movement that began here in Oklahoma and where it's headed. There's also another good documentary called Babies Are Murdered Here by John Speed that would be worth watching for sure.
Yes, and Marcus Pittman was involved in that as well.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. You may be both surprised, or maybe you won't be, but years ago, back in the 90s, when Pat Buchanan was running for president with the Reform Party, he was probably the most outspoken proponent of ending abortion. And yet, when I called during a radio interview when he was a guest, I asked him the very thing about we should require the viewing of an abortion before any election cycle. He said, I was shocked, he said, oh, we wouldn't want to do that. And I said, why on earth not? And he said, well, that would be like televising an execution. And I said, that's my point! But anyway, we have to go to our midway break right now. And anybody who wants to ask a question, please send it in now, because we're rapidly running out of time. We'll be right back after these messages, so don't go away.
Hi, I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Welcome back. If you could, Dusty Devers, conclude the program with 2 minutes of uninterrupted summary of what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners, and After you're finished, we'll have Bill Askell do the same.
Okay, Chris, thank you so much for your time. There's just a huge, by God's grace, a huge distinction going on in our country right now, and it's growing more and more to a head, and nobody can stop it, because it's the work of the Spirit of God to bring about justice the way God would demand for it to be done. This is these are all good works in keeping with repentance. They are good fruits in bringing about equal justice for our preborn neighbors. You know, we call ourselves Great Commission Baptists, and that's true. The Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples. And the second part of that Great Commission, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded. And part of what he commands is that we be Great Commandment Baptists as well, where we love our preborn neighbors as ourselves. You know that in numerous states, Oklahoma, Texas, Indiana, Idaho, Washington, Alaska, Missouri, Arizona, Maryland, South Carolina, and North Carolina, there have been abolition bills put forward. And in every one of those states, it's not the pro-abortion industry that's killing these bills. It's the pro-life industry that's killing these bills. And laws to murder babies are being written at state capitals. And we're seeing them bear fruit on the ground of murdered babies, 3,000 a day in the United States. Here's what R.C. Sproul said. When the government is no longer acting justly and no longer protecting life or sanctioning abortion, for example, then it is the task of the church to be the prophetic voice, to call the state to task and tell the state to repent and do what God commands it to do. That's what we're doing, and we're saying that the legislator is downstream from the culture, and culture is downstream from the church, and the church is downstream from pulpits. So pastors, get on board. Repent with us and come to the consistent position of abolition as God's word demands.
And Bill, we have about a minute left.
All right, I'll just make this quick. Go to ERC.com, ERLC.com. That's for the Liberty Commission. There's an article on there right now, The Road to Roe 50. In other words, 50th anniversary of Roe coming up in the 2023. There's no intention on the part of the ELC to see abortion abolished between now and then. Vinny Burke and Andrew Walker, who write for the Commission of the Biblical Council of Manhood and Womanhood, teach at Southern Seminary, are all over this. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. There's going to be a conference tied to Roe 50. These guys who come out against us, watch for them to be writing books, watch for them to be speaking at conferences. The pro-life industry makes way too much money for abortion to be abolished. We're calling on people, leave the pro-life movement, join us in the abolition movement. Abortion will be abolished. It's just a matter of time, when and where. God willing, it'll happen in Oklahoma or one of the states where Christians rise up and say we've had enough.
And if anybody wants more information about the resolution we've been discussing, go to Southern Baptists AbolishingAbortion.com, Southern Baptists AbolishingAbortion.com. Thank you, brethren, for being such excellent guests. Thanks to everyone who listened. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.